Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. The time is exactly 5 minutes past the hour. It is Tuesday, the 8th of September. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with invited guests discussing the issues of the day with you for the next 2 hours. If you wish to get involved with the show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going to be joined today by Andres Gallardo, giving us an update on the Spanish situation and a new corruption case. And also going to be discussing oven-ready Brexit, what the latest developments are coming out of the UK, and anything else that's crossing your radar at the moment. 952 78 4000. If you've got thoughts on masks, if you've got thoughts on coronavirus, if you've got thoughts on oven-ready Brexits, if you've got thoughts on Julian Assange, I'd like to hear from you. We are an open talking point here on Viewpoint. But first of all, let's have a look at what the papers are saying in the UK and also in Spain. The UK paper headlines: bitter Brexit row and Harry's Netflix and Bill. I'm not quite sure they're allowed to get away with that one, but anyway, let's have a look at what their papers are saying in the UK. Starting off with today, the first paper is the FT. No, it's not the FT. It is, in fact, you know that thing we have it all day. There we go. The UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson will tell EU leaders that the Brexit divorce deal is contradictory and must be rewritten to protect the union, according to the Daily Telegraph. Mr. Johnson is said to believe the withdrawal agreement would leave Northern Ireland isolated from the rest of the UK. This was unforeseen when the deal was signed last year, a government source tells the paper. Financial Times says that when the EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier arrives in London for Brexit talks on Tuesday next week, he will issue a stark warning that if the divorce agreement is redrawn, negotiations about a trade deal will collapse. For the Daily Express, it's an angry standoff that's left talks teetering on a knife edge. The Guardian has seen leaked diplomatic cables that says evidence of EU's plummeting trust in Mr. Johnson. According to one of the dispatches, the European Commission fears Downing Street is behind a barrage of anti-EU articles in the British newspapers. You don't say. Another suspects Mr. Johnson of delaying a compromise on fisheries, state aid and the way disputes will be resolved in order to achieve a trade-off at the last minute. The Guardian said it's the worst possible backdrop to the latest round of negotiations. Meanwhile, the Sussexes are pictured on many front pages after they repaid the cost of renovating Frogmore Cottage on the Windsor Castle estate. Daily Telegraph says the couple have been emphasising their lack of reliance on British funds, first by taking over the funding of their security, and now by paying back the £2.4 million spent on their UK home. But the Times says it's unclear how the couple now plan to support themselves. The paper says their big Netflix deal doesn't appear to cover their known outgoings. Daily Mail leads on official estimates of fraudulent or erroneous claims under the coronavirus job retention scheme with the headline, the £3.5 billion furlough farce. It cites comments from the most senior civil servant at Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, who told MPs yesterday the error and fraud rate for the £35 billion scheme could be between 5% and 10%. The Bank of England's chief economist, meanwhile, tells the business newspaper City AM that he's against extending the furlough scheme. Andy Haldane explains to the paper that doing so would prevent what he calls a necessary process of adjustment and that keeping jobs on life support isn't the best things for workers or business. City AM notes that warnings from some industry bodies that when the scheme ends next month, there could be a second wave of job cuts. The main story for the Times is Health Secretary Matt Hancock's plea to young people not to, quote-unquote, not to kill your gran. by spreading coronavirus. The paper says a sudden rise in infections has taken ministers by surprise, raising fears about students returning to university next month. Student and lecturers' leaders tell the Times they want regular testing at universities, but the paper says at present very few are planning to do this. And Emmy Barnett's appointment as the new host of Woman's Hour prompts The Guardian to consider whether the programme is still relevant. The 35-year-old inherits a show very different from the one that would cover pressing topics such as mother's midday meals, the paper says. Change the name, please. It's dreadfully middle class, is the verdict of a historian quoted speaking to the Radio Times. But there's praise from the classicist Mary Beard, who says the programme brings to the fore subjects that are often squeezed out. You won't find too much about menstruation elsewhere on the radio, she says. Obviously, they haven't heard the lifestyle show on a Thursday. Moving swiftly onwards to El País, in English, the website, Spanish diplomacy working to secure less strict travel restrictions. The Spanish family wrongly accused of child pornography due to a mistake reading the date on alert from a U.S. organization. But followed American month, year, day usage. But this was misread by investigators in Spain. As a result, four people went through a nightmare situation. El País reaches 110,000 subscribers after launching its digital subscription model, and total coronavirus infections in Spain rise to more than 500,000. The new figure was reported by the regions on the same day that 13 people were arrested at a protest against COVID-19 safety measures and restrictions. Back to those front pages the newspaper headlines to see what they're actually saying and seeing who is on the front page. Starting off with the Financial Times. Belarus fears Kolesnova goes missing. That's one of the opposition leaders who has disappeared. And Johnson faces Barnier warning not to backtrack on Brexit divorce deal. Also Daily Telegraph. Brexit deal never made sense. PM to tell EU. And a picture of Bianca Jagger. I'm a climate radical, but XR, Extinction Rebellion, were wrong to blockade the press. Brexit deal on the brink as PM warns no compromise. The Guardian, Brussels collapsing trust in PM revealed in leaked EU documents, and also a photograph of the Birmingham knife victim killed 2 days ago. Daily Express, defiant Boris, I will not back down. And a picture of Anthea Turner at the age 60. The Times, Tories tell Johnson that watering down Brexit deal is dangerous, and also don't kill granny with virus, warns Hancock. The Metro, Netflix and Bill paid in full. Harry and Meghan clear £2.4 million Frogmore debt after £112 million TV bill. A Daily Star, a game of two half-wits. That's the two footballers, England footballers, who invited Icelandic beauties, quote-unquote, to their room. They've been sent home before England played Denmark. And Daily Star also says, because they were campaigning about this the other day, and so they have claimed, normal couple pay back the £2.4 million they owe Brit taxpayers. It's the Daily Star what, W-O-T, won it. After their headline, show us the money, the Star having it in, trying to give the Sussexes a good kicking, and a picture of Anthea Turner with a head turner at 60. Daily Mail, £2.4 million check for Frogmore that says the Sussexes' divorce from Britain is final. That's their columnist Richard Kay. And, the £3.5 billion furlough farce revealed. That's how much of your cash may have been lost in fraud and blundered. And those are your headlines today, which is Tuesday, the 8th of September.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Good morning to Richard in London, who says he's re-quoting or retweeting Peston. 7 million. The government is 7 minutes ago. Excuse me. The government is to significantly reduce the threshold for lawful gatherings of people in homes from the current 30, perhaps to as low as 6. I understand this is a first response to the significant spike to around 3,000 a day in COVID-19 infections they've seen in the UK. The same will happen with the eat out scheme. By the way, it's easy to scam the system. Going back to those infections. And I'm going to be speaking to Andres Gallardo in a minute. Catalonia registered 1,481 new infections and 8 fatalities in the past 24 hours, while Andalusia reported 1,030 cases. The Basque Country, 745, Valencia, 630, Castilla and Leon, 560. Extremadura, 225, the Canary Islands, 365, Galicia, 293, Aragon, 248, Cantabria, 213, Navarra, 191, and Asturias, 65. So that is the Spanish Health Ministry doesn't publish figures for the COVID crisis on the weekends, nor does the Madrid region. But if the figures reported over the weekend or Saturday were added to the total number of cases recorded by the health ministry, that new total is now at 505,441 in response to the rise in cases. Mandatory and recommended confinement measures have been introduced to some areas of Spain. So that is your, and also they've got a thing on the police arresting 13 at an anti-maskers march in Madrid, during the protest against coronavirus safety measures in the center of Madrid. Spokesperson for the central government's delegation in Madrid said the arrests were made after protesters ignored police orders to wear a face mask, which are mandatory in all public spaces, regardless of whether social distancing rules can be respected. Type of arrest is typically resolved with a proposed fine of between 300 and 600 euros and does not lead to criminal charges. There are about 500 people at the protest on Saturday, carrying signs against face masks, coronavirus vaccines and lockdown measures. According to a spokesperson, they were stopped by police before they could reach their final destination of the famous Puerta de Sol landmarker. They didn't notify the government about the demonstration using social media call for attendees. So those are your headlines in Spain today. You're going to be speaking to Andres Gallardo after this.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
And with the time at 19 minutes past the hour, we're going to be joined by our first guest of Viewpoint, Andres Gallardo, giving us the Spanish update and outlook. Good morning to you, Andres.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Well, we'll get away from anti-maskers, coronavirus, COVID and all sorts of things like that, because it's almost like old times. Remember those BC before coronavirus? As we get involved with a good old-fashioned Partido Popular political embezzlement financial scandal.
Yeah, sorry to take you away from COVID, but this one is too good to miss. In the last 3 weeks, this started with a judge investigating illegal financing by the party Podemos, which were now coalition in the government. So they're being investigated there, and you could almost hear from Malaga the sign of relief of Casado, the leader of the PP, thinking, "Oh my God, a corruption scandal that doesn't involve us." That's music to my ears. Well, this all changed in the last couple of days. They're back in the frame. And this is quite an interesting story because it's almost like a spy movie, this one. This one was Bárcenas, who was the accountant for the PP, is currently in jail.
Yeah, 33 years, isn't he, he's got?
Yeah, he's got quite a long sentence. I mean, that was quite a serious case. In fact, it was the case that brought down the government of Rajoy when the sentence came out. Was the famous Gürtel and so on. So what happened there? I'm laughing because it's almost like a spy movie. He had evidence, apparently, that members of the party, including ministers and even the ex-prime minister, and he said, either we do a deal or I will expose everyone. So all of these allegedly, yeah, because this is not gone to trial yet. But what happened there is that the police got an inside guy who was the driver of Bartonas, and they encouraged him to steal the evidence he had against the other party members. As a result of that, they couldn't prosecute the other names in this supposedly list. Now, new evidence has come out, and we could have a situation where if this goes all the way, it's been investigated at the moment, so there's nobody's been accused or anything, but investigation is open to the press are reporting. Of course, the left-wing press are already sentencing everyone here, but the reality is that nothing has been confirmed yet.
Right.
The process of the investigation goes. But the people involved, this is the important thing here, is the ex-Home Office Minister, the ex-Defence Minister, and, ladies and gentlemen, Mariano Rajoy, the ex-Prime Minister. So we have a country where we could have the current vice president sitting on the bench, you know, if it goes all the way.
Right.
Two senior ministers, ex-senior ministers, sitting on the bench, the ex-prime minister sitting on the bench, and to wrap it all up, if the ex-king case goes all the way as well, we could have the ex-head of state sitting on the bench. So, yeah, this is great, isn't it? If the image that Spain is portraying to the rest of the world is absolutely, absolutely terrible.
You've got to ask yourself, Andres, when you look at this, because, I mean, we're laughing, you know, we've sort of got, as we say in English, we've got a gallows humour here, because this is not the first time that we see politicians at every level. I mean, we've had the ERE scandal, of course, in Andalusia, which was horrendous. We've had, you know, the black credit card, which brought down Bárcenas and brought down Rajoy as well. And it seems to be that if you come into government, certain aspects of government, it seems to be a license to indulge in this sort of behaviour.
Well, it is. It has been. I mean, but it has been since the days of Felipe González. I think he had scandals as well. And of course, the team of Aznar were also involved in, you know, there's a number of ex-ministers who've gone through trials and jail sentences. It's just, what I don't understand, is why there isn't a revolution and get rid of all these people, you know. I mean, the Casado with the PP, when the government of Rajoy went, he regenerated the party, and now he finds himself with all brand new people, all quite young, all quite useless, if you ask me, but at least nobody's involved in any corruption. But now this comes up and taints the party yet again. So what reflection that would have in the intention of vote, we'll have to wait and see. And also we'll see if the court cases go anywhere, because, I mean, as you know, judges can open an investigation and can close it as quickly as they opened it. But it looks bad. I mean, all this is buying one to save the other, and it's just not even money here involved, you know. It's just like pure corruption, manipulating the justice system this way. So it looks bad. Nothing's proven, so we have to assume innocent before proven guilty, which a lot of the press in Spain don't. But on the other hand, it just looks really bad in the country, especially now that we're in the middle of a pandemic that is getting worse rather than better.
I mean, you said that, you know, it's a wonder why there isn't a revolution. But if you think back, and it's almost 10 years, or perhaps it is 10 years now, but this was one of the reasons that Podemos came and showed such a strong rating. And when we had these demonstrations in the streets because of, you know, people were saying, well, Podemos was supposed to be the third way.
Yeah, but Podemos came out as an anti-corruption, communist, pro-Venezuelan party. But now they are also tainted with illegal financing of the party and running accounts with B money as well. Again, all this has to be proven, but even they have been tainted now with the shadow of corruption as well. So nobody seems to be free of guilt here. What's the New Testament?
He without guilt, throw the first stone. Exactly.
Throw the first stone.
What's the reaction then been? Has Prime Minister Sanchez been, attacking the Partido Popular, saying, "Well, look, you might have bright, shiny new clothes, with your leader, but underneath you're still the same beast."
It hasn't yet, because this is quite recent. I'm sure that in the next parliament speech, he will hit them with that. But at the moment, he's too busy trying to get these budgets approved. How he's going about it, I know that your contributor, Alf, thinks he's a very clever man, but what he's doing with the budget is something incredible. He's trying to get the budget approved before he produces the budget. So how can you approve something that is not there? And I'll tell you what he's doing. The budget is going to be very tight and dictated by Brussels. Some of the left-wing parties are not going to be happy with what's approved. And also will dictate how the money from Europe is spent in Spain, which is going to have to be the most productive in terms of helping the industry, helping the unemployment levels and all of those things. So there won't be money to open websites to promote independence for Catalonia, for instance.
Yeah, this is another thing, because obviously Spain is about to get a tranche of EU money to help them prop up because of the situation with coronavirus, and if we are still, Spain is still haunted with the spectre of embezzlement, of corruption, of financial irregularity, which has become all too commonplace. I mean, the EU is going to look at this very, very carefully. They don't want another ERE scandal, do they?
They don't. And also, don't forget that this money is not the money that is just like write a check and give it to them and say, here you go, here's your money. No, this money, I mean, the first bit of the money won't arrive till the spring 2021. So it's not just a check that is being written and sent to Spain and that's it. It's almost like you need a certification to get the next lot. Have you done this? Yes. Okay. You can have a little bit more. So it's a process where we will have to prove that the money is well spent and is helping to recover the economy. Because that's the aim of this, is to recover the economy. Now, in the budget, they said in terms of taxes, there's quite a funny a phrase from the finance minister saying, we won't raise taxes now, we will review it when the economy recovers. But let me just translate this phrase. You're poor now, so you have no money so we can tax you. As soon as you get a little bit of money, we will raise your tax and you will continue to be poor. That's how I interpret the phrase from government. So if we start, the economy recovers, then he won't show through in wealth. He will show that we're paying more taxes.
You say when the economy recovers, but I mean there's little precious sign of that happening at the moment, Andres.
It will have to recover sooner or later. I mean, the health minister announced yesterday 3 million doses of this vaccine being available as early as December. Whether how effective that will be, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, everyone is very hopeful that will be the start of the recovery and the end of COVID. But we are relying on a vaccine that will work and will, so they're targeting the elderly at the beginning and target the health workers like doctors, nurses and so on. And that should be the start of a potential recovery. So I'm hopeful that we will come out of this one. However, the Health World Organization today announced that this is not the last pandemic. There's others to come. So get ready for this one.
Yeah, and also, of course, it was back to school this week, and there was considerable confusion last week when the teachers and the staff and the auxiliary staff at schools were ordered to, especially in Madrid, to line up for their PCP tests, and some quite incredible images of thousands of people queuing around the block.
I mean, was that crazy or wasn't it? Just, I mean, they called all the teachers to be tested in the same place at the same time, all queuing up without any measures of security. That was a shambles, to be honest. And the problem is that 2,500 teachers in the Madrid region tested positive, and now they're waiting for another test to confirm whether they're positive or not, so they'll have to find replacement teachers, so there are enough teachers there to start the school the school year. Teachers are a little bit in the front line now because all these measures that they have, all these recommendations they've done for the schools, I said last week, I can't see them being followed very strictly because we're talking children here.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. Sharon Alicante.
Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. It would be nice to have somebody present the other side on alternate weeks, but never mind. I'm getting used to Andreas now. The Madrid fiasco, I understand Madrid is run by the PP, isn't it, Madrid?
Yes, it is. That was down to the regional government. Yes, you're right.
And you've forgotten to mention the 17,000 staff GDIS, whose details were exposed under abused GDPR, so that we've got a load of data on 17,000 staff out there that shouldn't be out there. And regarding corruption, Spain it obviously has this reputation, but if you look back at London, we've got MPs' expenses which are ongoing. We've got Russians paying MPs for access to this, that and the other. We've got Russian and Syrian families living in London under sort of dubious means. We've got the City of London, which in itself is the money laundering capital of the world. And we've got our Tory governments that created tax evasion. So I don't worry too much, because Spain is at least open and honest when it comes out. It comes out, it's exposed, it's out there in the media. Half of the stuff that happens in Britain doesn't even get out there. People don't even know it's going on until it's happened. So don't worry. I mean, it's PP again, but never mind. We'll have to just live with it. Point is, a lot of the governments, the central government in Spain is being blamed for a lot of the stuff that is being run by Andalusia and Madrid government.
Yeah, you're right. Sharon, there is a very interesting article in La Vanguardia from yesterday that exposes the corruption in the UK. Very interesting. I recommend you, if you can sort of locate it, that you read it, because it explains...
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, it was yesterday in La Vanguardia in the international bit.
Yes, thank you very much for that. I'll try and have a look.
Thanks, Sharon, Andrew. Thank you for your call in as well. Good to hear from you. Yeah, that was quite something. Sharon just highlighted about the Excel spreadsheet that was attached as well, with 17,000 people's, I think it was it their emails and their names and their phone numbers?
I'm not too familiar with that one. They're happening. The things happening that they shouldn't happen, and people in Spain are really fed up with all these.
Basically, what it was, Andres, is when they sent out the letter saying you must go to your PCP testing port or whatever, somebody, some minion or somebody, did a bit of a mock-up and attached an Excel spreadsheet that had 17,000 people they were contacting, all their details to it, which was a bit of a blunder, to put it mildly. Alf's been on. Good morning to you, Alf, saying, Andres, like many others, should stop misquoting. I'm sorry, Andres, you're getting it in the neck today. I said that Sanchez had been cute. I remember Alf saying that because I sort of raised my eyebrows. Watch him deliver the budget. That's from coming in from Alf, and good to have you with us, Alf. Let's have a look. All very heinous in the UK, but hardly the fault of Andres or the PP. That's one of the WhatsApp. This in from this one as well, saying, the UK is the most corrupt country in the world. Many in the UK stupidly think it isn't, epitomised by the naivety of many newspaper readers who think that subscribing to an upmarket paper makes them somehow superior. It's a very strange and curious natural characteristic of trusting people with posh accents is what makes Brits so susceptible to rip-offs, both in physical form and human form. Bozo, otherwise known as the Prime Minister, is trying to crystallise the position of the UK being a tiny, insignificant crag of mainland Europe that, as Sharon states, specialises in tax evasion and money laundering. A thought just occurred to me, Andres, and perhaps you can help me with this one. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you're talking about upper-class... Thank you. Naivety, not nativity. Thank you. It's almost Christmas somewhere. I just had a thought there about posh accents. Of course, not being a native speaker, I am unaware of the accents of Casado and also and Sanchez. Are they, you know, as do they have, if you like, the proper the King's Spanish as opposed to the Queen's English?
Not really. No, we don't have. I mean, we have regional accents. In Spain,
you're talking to a man who mumbles in Andalus. Remember that?
Yeah, correct. I mean, in Andalusia, I was listening to the regional president in Andalusia this morning on the radio, and he has an Andalus accent. He's a very well-educated person, the same as Casado. But in Madrid, they all sound like the RP of accent. We don't have the Queen's English as such in Spain. But we do have upper classes who control a lot of the economy and the political positions, the same as in the UK.
I got another caller on the line, Andres. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John in Meehurst.
Morning, John.
With all due respect to Sharon, who I listen to and enjoy, what she just said was a sweeping statement, most of which was totally untrue. And one of the things she said was that the government, the UK government, invented tax evasion. It's not tax evasion. That's a criminal act. There's tax avoidance. And unfortunately, both my sons are accountants, and accountants do find many loopholes in laws, because laws, unfortunately, when they're written, cannot be sort of qualified exactly, no matter how hard the people try. And, of course, the people who pass the laws, cynically, I say, are mostly lawyers, because that's the biggest group in Parliament. And I'm sure sometimes they pass laws deliberately to hold loopholes so they can then earn money arguing about the loopholes, what things mean. End of my rant.
Thank you very much for that. Good to hear from you, John, as always. Andres?
Isn't it great a bit of ranting?
Gets me through the day, I can assure you. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just wanted to add one more thing, because I know you have to get on with your program, I don't want to sort of kidnap your program. There is one thing. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, just going back quickly to COVID. A normal GP, talking to him, he said, the problem we are going to have is with these increasing cases that we are seeing now, eventually will translate and more medical attention needed for some people. And we are running into the flu season and the cold season and resfriados and all of that. And we're bracing ourselves here because we are going to need a lot of support. And I asked him, I said, are you getting anything from either your regional government or anything in terms of organization helping you out? And he said, no, the truth is that we're doing it ourselves. The doctors themselves are organizing how they're going to treat everyone and separate the ones, the cases from one thing to the other, whether they're COVID or they're normal flu and everything else. So there is that initiative happening from the doctors themselves to be ready for the autumn and the winter.
Just going to take another caller whilst you're on, and then I'll let you go, Andres. Just one more for the road, as the saying goes. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Ben O'Madden. It's John Dodd.
Hello, John. What's up?
Well, I don't know whether it was your good self prompting your man, but you mentioned Felipe González.
Yeah.
Well, he was a very naughty boy, wasn't he? He's got away with murder. And I think neither of you have mentioned it, but I think the other man should be the one that's mentioned it, because it was very grave, or doesn't he know?
It was who? Sorry, I can hardly hear you. You've got the radio on in the background. It was who? Yeah, you said, yeah, Felipe González, who Andres mentioned before, and who was the other gentleman you called in there?
No, the gentleman you're speaking to.
Yeah, I know, but you said Felipe Gonzalez was quite unquote a very naughty boy, and you mentioned somebody else?
No, that was that.
Just that.
I just said that for not mentioning it, because I'm thinking that he must know all about Felipe Gonzalez, and maybe he should actually offer it to all our listeners in better style than I'll give it.
Yeah, well, okay, John, but yeah, okay, thank you.
He actually killed people, so, well, had them killed.
You can't say Felipe Gonzalez had people killed, John.
Yes, he did.
Where did... Okay, come on, instruct me. Tell me where Felipe Gonzalez, the former Prime Minister of Spain, the first socialist Prime Minister in Spanish democratic history, had people killed.
Because he was a member of the GAL, G-A-L, along with the Guardia Civil.
The socialist Prime Minister of Spain was a member of the GAL.
Everybody knows it.
Right, I didn't know it, but thank you for enlightening me. Andres?
Look, about Felipe González, yes, he was involved in scandals towards the end of his Prime Minister days. But this is a little bit like King Juan Carlos' situation, where he did really good things, and then in the end we got caught with receiving all this money and everything else. You can't take away what he did well. And with Felipe González, we have the same situation. Felipe González was the trigger to modernize Spain. In 1982, the country was on its knees. He reformed the army, reformed the country. He took us into the EU. He was a very, very clever prime minister and did very well. Felipe González had a big problem, and that was the terrorist ETA group that were killing people almost on a daily basis. Some of you probably don't remember that, but growing up, I remember just every day there was a report of someone being shot in the head by ETA. What happened there is that allegedly, yeah, he wasn't a member of GAL, but apparently there were some funds, government funds, that were used to a paramilitary sort of group to tackle the terrorists. By fighting at the same level. Now, all this hadn't been proven, and there is a lot of stories going on about that in those times, and that tainted his career as prime minister. But the reality of it is what he did in the earlier years, especially, are one of the best things that happened to Spain. And just to prove to Sharon that I can praise a socialist prime minister as well. Unfortunately, I can't do the same with Sanchez because he's useless.
And other opinions are available. Andres, this is good enough time, as always, to go to a break. Andres Gallardo, thank you so much for your input today. Be good, take care, stay silent, okay. Safe, and we'll
thank
speak
you,
soon.
Charles, all the best.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, a variety of ways you can get in contact with us here on Viewpoint. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95 with you for about 12 minutes or so before we go to the national and international. Just a quick look at your headlines as they stand at the moment. Leading health experts in the UK are warning that the country faces a bumpy ride over the next few months with coronavirus cases rising. England's deputy chief medical officer is blaming a sharp spike in positive tests, particularly those aged between 17 and 21, and people being too relaxed. The government wants employers to check claims they've made for furloughed workers and repay any excess amounts. Figures show £3.5 billion may have been paid out by the job retention scheme due to error or fraud. The UK's chief Brexit negotiator insists there's still time to reach a good agreement as he prepares to meet his EU counterpart. But Lord Frost believes There needs to be more realism from Brussels about our status as an independent country. EasyJet is cutting flights ahead of the introduction of new quarantine rules in England for those arriving from seven Greek islands. It says customer confidence to make travel plans has been hit. In sport, Novak Djokovic has asked his fans not to abuse the line judge he hit with a ball at the US Open. As if, I mean, honestly, the world number one was disqualified from the tournament after accidentally whacking a ball at her. And he was very apologetic about that. Indeed, I think we had a caller in there, but they have disappeared into the firmament. Yeah, if you've got any constructive comments to make, please let me know. Andrea is accusing Sanchez of being useless. What would he say about Boris Johnson? Well, we'll come into all things Boris Johnson, I think, in the second half of the show when I speak to Anne Hernandez about the situation there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to go live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. Just to reply to John, it's Sharon Alicante. I actually did mean tax evasion, and John, I do know the difference between tax evasion and tax avoidance. Absolutely. There's a company on this coastline that advertises widely that helps wealthy people avoid tax. But what I'm saying is people like Cameron's father, set up tax avoidance places, what do they call them, tax havens, all over the place, so that people could legally avoid paying tax. What happens is either those people get really, really greedy, not happy with making millions legally, or people who don't have access to that sort of help get greedy, and then you get tax evasion, which is pretty rife in the UK as well. So that's the point. I didn't put it very well, but that's what I meant. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you very much for calling this. I've got another call on my morning call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Jason. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm very well, thank you, Jason.
I'd like to speak of two issues that are prevalent in the news, and I would like to link them both together.
Yeah, you're going in and out on me, Jason.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's fine, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to link together two issues that are very prevalent in the news, and I'd like to link them both together. The first is the virus, which I believe is very real. I think the reaction to it is excessive, and the debt, obscene. The other one is the environmental concerns in terms of man's impact on the planet, in terms of extinction of other animals, and also the climate problems. I believe the virus has been used as a mechanism of implementation, control for something else. And I believe what's happening under our very nose is the big unwieldy ship of mankind has been turned around, the destructive ship, pretty damn quick for a reason. The oxygen supply of this planet, which we've always assumed is invincible, I believe is under serious threat. And I quote Sir David Attenborough on the methane deposits that are locked in the ice, which are 22 times more devastating than the CO2 we're concerned about. The rainforests, as we know, fact, have been cut down at a football pitch every 6 seconds, 24 hours a day this year, 25% more than before. That lung is damaged now by half, it's gone. The oxygen supply we rely on is from the sea, which is getting attacked by freshwater ice melt, desalination, acidification, massive rise in sea temperature, that's the killer blow, on the phytoplankton that regulates and creates the air, and also pollution, plastic and chemical. I believe what's happening, and is known behind the scenes, not to panic the stock exchange or the populace, is as the family realise that we're in deep trouble, and that there's a real danger of the planet's life support system failing, i.e. air supply. There's only one thing that can justify a $30 trillion debt, and it's something more important, which is air. You can, with little money or no money, you can breathe. Without air, you've got nothing. And I believe what's really happening here is the virus has been used to change our ways. There's aeroplanes flying, and change the way we live our lives to avert our extinction by suffocation. And if you think that's not true, just look around you at what's happening. How long can you damage your planet before you reap the consequences? So I want to put that out there. The computer models of the 90s have been proved to be wrong as far as Greenland is melting 7 times quicker than was projected. And I think this thing's snowballing. And if you think I'm scaremongering, just listen to what Sir David Attenborough said when he starts speaking about potential extinction, because he's no mug. So I want to put that out there. I believe the bigger picture is driving everything that's going on, and we are being manipulated.
And I think we've lost Jason. No, we seem to have lost Jason there. Perhaps for a lack of oxygen. Anyway, but this coming in from Gavin and Rafa. Felipe Gonzalez was mired in corruption and in the end related to ETA. Andrea was right there. Going live to the lines again. Good morning, Corley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca.
Good morning, Kate.
And just quickly to say that there's a lot I agree with the last speaker when he's being descriptive. When he says, we are being manipulated, that's where I start smelling wrong jumps from one conclusion. Anyway, the point is that most of what he said, factually, is factual. What he's, I think, incorrect is believing that governments are manipulating it to change our habits. Coincidentally, it seems to me that the COVID virus has brought a number of things that ought to have been necessary much faster about addressing climate change. And I'll just leave it there.
Okay. I mean, what we're just going to say, what do you think it has, what do you think it has brought faster?
The presumption that you can, anyone can fly as often as they want to, can drive as far as they want to, etc., etc. And as recognition by governments that actually, by sane governments, that more investment in public transport, etc., and, you know, not crowded trains for the banging up to London every day.
Right.
It's all those adjustments to, and I think the 4 day, you know, the working from home makes a very great deal of sense. I've always thought that, you know, 3 day, 4 day working week in the office, you can usually do as much as you could do in 5 days. Anyway, so many changes are actually being brought about, but I don't think that any government intended it.
Thank you for your call in there, Kate. Always good to hear from you here on Viewpoint. If you want to get involved with the show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And this in via the Facebook page. John is correct. They do pass laws with loopholes. Mrs. T, Mrs. Thatcher, presumably, reduced civil servants, saying the public will find these problems and then Parliament can amend the laws. Unfortunately, I found one and brought it to Parliament's attention. She uses this to make her point. Stay safe and take care. That's one in on the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. And this one I read in them this morning in The Economist, that NO2 levels, or NOx levels, excuse me, are back up to normal since COVID. And there's an accompanying graph from The Economist. Thank you very much for that. And the tax haven. Ah, yes, another great British invention.
Hi, I'm Bob James. Join me for a relaxed look at Spain today. From my vantage point high above the Orba Valley in the Valencia province, I'll keep you in the know with the top stories that are making the news, along with e-sport and business news, and of course the coastal conditions, plus music and memories with our hits and headlines. And don't forget, our famous and finally,
Spain Today, presented by Bob James.
Weekdays from 3 here on TRE.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And also good morning to Emmett and Janice and also Marion, who are checking in with us on the Talk Radio Official Facebook page and listening in. Good to have you with us this morning. I said before, 952-78-4000 is the phone number if you wish to get involved with the show. In the second half of Viewpoint, I'm going to be talking about no deal Brexits, oven-ready Brexits, and the situation in the UK as Boris Johnson seems to be heading towards another round of crucial last-minute talks with the EU about the UK's future and trading relationships with its former EU partners, member partners. I'll be talking that with Anne Hernandez again. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Don't forget there's no Stephen Ritson with us today. He isn't with us this week. So we'll be going to the BBC World Service at 12 o'clock, but still we have another 60 minutes or so of Viewpoint coming up after the international and national news at the top of the hour.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, sometimes lively. Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, in the hot seat with you for the next 53 minutes or so. If you wish to get involved with the show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we've got a caller on the line. I go straight to the lines. Morning, caller. You're live on... Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John Dodigan.
Yes, John.
I thought you caught me, you really caught me out, because, and I thought, well, I must be wrong, but I'm not wrong because I lived it. But anyway, it's very, very true. And also the CIA investigated it. It's just loads of it on YouTube.
Ah, well then.
But the thing is, I'd like you to look it up because you've got much like... Anna Murray, she's got very skilled fingers, obviously. Because
I've no answer to that one, have I?
No, but she comes out with some very good. You know, you turned me down on the Holocaust once, but she came out with a very good interview. She found someone to interview who was alive at the time. You know,
as opposed to being dead at the time she interviewed them, John.
It's incredible, though. But if they interview very well. So does Hannah Murray and who's Bill Padley. Say no more. I mean, you've got, and you too. You're very good too.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to offer before I turn the fader down?
Well, there is a thing. I'm writing a book.
Ah, marvellous.
Flying aeroplanes, cars with aeroplane engines in, Rolls Royce.
You're right, it's wonderful. I hate to break up this.
Rolls Royces, I'm writing a book. You'll never guess about what. Who won the war?
Thank you very much for that.
The Americans did, by the way. I'll tell you. And that's going to cause quite a stir.
It's not a spoiler, is it? Let's face it.
But I bet you, with you and Anna Murray and all the other people, if you start doing things when you're on lockdown, which you don't normally do, then you start digging out the. And Churchill was a traitor. An absolute racist.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to throw into the mix before I turn you off?
Well, no.
All right, then. I think we covered all the bases there, haven't we, really,
John?
Let's face it.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to just take a break and look at life, I think, after that.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
live and lively. Morning, Corey, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you coming from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Gary here.
Morning, Gary.
Hello. Been dipping in and out your show today. That's a bit of a euphemism, but there you go. Bit of a quiet show today, so I'd like to throw something in the mix.
Please
but
do.
Hopefully, I'm not preempting your show. First of all, Jason, he hasn't got much faith in Donald Trump. And secondly, will you be commenting today on the filth that was on the TV, British TV, with regards to Britain's Got Talent on Saturday?
I don't have British TV, so I won't be commenting on that one, okay?
About the controversy with the Black Lives Matter and Ashley Banjo, etc., reenacting the arrest, etc., and death of George Floyd.
I missed that one completely, Gary, but...
okay.
Yeah, thank you, but thank you very much. 952-78-4000, going live to the lines again. Morning, Cordy, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, Cooley, you're live on TRE.
Good morning, Giles. It's Sean here from Fuencarello.
Morning, Sean.
Good morning, everybody. I'd just like to say something briefly about the growing irritation that I think many of us in Spain and all over the world are experiencing with the stringent requirements over the wearing of masks, etc. It's worth noting that the New York Times, which sometimes gets things right, and it has on this occasion, carries a very interesting article about amplification cycles for the testing, the PCR test that you mentioned earlier, that of course tests for antibodies of the virus. Well, normally when they test those, they test them at amplification cycles. They use them on amplification. So basically what that means is that every time a cycle goes round, it will at some point pick up whether or not the person tests positive for the virus. And they're testing, the standard test range is 37 to 40. I won't get too technical about this,
okay.
But what it means is that the current standard of 37 to 40 cycles is anywhere between 100 and 1,000 times too sensitive. So it should be set at about 30 cycles. So says, for example, Dr. Michael Mina, who's an epidemiologist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. So the testing thresholds are currently too sensitive, and as a result, there are millions of people all over the world that are tested positive for the virus, which technically is true, but it's almost as meaningless as finding dozens of viruses inside each and every one of us, but are of no risk to our health, and more importantly, there are also the chances of that being spread to other people, which, after all, what was the point of the lockdown if it wasn't that? Those chances are also very, very small if somebody is testing at an amplification cycle of 37 to 40. So just well worth bearing in mind, and I think it's only a matter of time before governments around the world start to understand more and more about this and are more sensible as a result. To me, it's an absolute tragedy that schools, for example, are making little children walk around with masks when it's just completely not necessary, with a very few exceptions. There are, of course, children that have very rare diseases, and that's a different case.
Thank you for your call in there, Sean.
Thanks.
Nice to hear from you, as always. 952-78-4000 is the phone number.
Your viewpoint counts.
One has to be cautious.
The rich are going to get richer, the poor are going to get poorer.
I find a lot of these young professionals, they're very, very fearful for their economic future.
Your voice should be heard.
Viewpoint.
I find most of it fascinating.
It's very easy to say from a sort of fly-on-the-wall position that somebody's done something terribly when you never have to make those choices yourself.
With Giles Brown.
I'm a dark and twisted person at the best of times.
I'm going to be cautious and see what happens.
Tuesdays from 10.
Nobody knows.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And delighted to be joining on the show on the show. Anne Hernandez, good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, Giles.
Just good to have you. Glad to have you with us. But looking at the headlines today, we're talking a little bit about Brexit. We thought it had gone away, basically, before COVID. And we are into yet another, what we're told is, vital round of talks coming up next week, with the Prime Minister now saying, set to tell the European Union that Brexit deal never made sense. What are your thoughts on where we are? I think that sigh, basically says all I need to know. Thanks for joining us.
I'm not here just to knock Boris, but he really is a disgrace. I mean, even Lindsay Hoyle reminded him that Prime Minister's question time on a Wednesday, it's just that, with obviously answers expected. So Boris needs to start answering a few questions. You know, it's really quite embarrassing.
I mean, when you look at the way that we are barreling, it seems, down towards, I mean, it only seems to be a couple of months ago that we voted out of the European Union, the referendum. Okay, it's five years ago now. Uh-huh. And here we are. We are in the middle of, coming out to the middle of September. We are set to leave at the end of this year, and we are no further down the line than when we were when the majority voted out.
No, and Boris actually suggested that if no agreement is reached by the 15th of October, then we leave with no deal. He also added it would be quite a good outcome.
A good outcome for whom, though? Because obviously,
well, for the UK.
Just going to take a call. We've got a caller coming in on the line, so take a call in there. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate. Yes, Kate. In support, every word that the lady Anne said, and those, I guess, that she suppressed as well. The Brexit situation is absolutely crazy. Basically, the only people who will win and get anything out of it are the ERG members. This is a very small minority of the population. Boris has been pushing for a no deal with no public authority, no deal was not on the referendum, no deal was not on the December Tory manifesto. There is basically a deepening sense of despair as people realise that technically, constitutionally, there's nothing we can do to stop the man. And this week's news was the worst of all. I mean, he's behaved disgracefully and continues to. But the idea he's going to break the agreement at the end of it was done at the end of January for coming out of the EEC and expect anyone to trade with us. My God.
My God, indeed. Thank you for that one, Kate. And just saying, I mean, we're looking at the situation here. It's maybe understandable if you're in the UK, but for immigrants like ourselves, expats, call us what you will, this is not a good situation.
Well, it's not, but I actually don't think the citizens' rights will be affected. I might stand to live to regret that, but I'd rather think not. I mean, this is about the trade deal. But, I mean, if he does renege on what was agreed, even though he's been warned, I think yesterday, by Ursula von der Leyen, who's the new EU president of the Commission, that it is essential to maintain peace and respect. The single market for the Northern Ireland must remain in it after the 31st of December. I mean, so what the heck is this man trying to do? He's saying that we will be able to then negotiate with the rest of the world. Well, 27 other countries, and I believe it's 164 other member countries around the world with the WTO. But UK's credibility will be shot to pieces. Who the heck would set up a deal with someone that is known to cheat, to lie, and then at the last minute pull the plug on anything that's been agreed?
I mean, you have to perhaps ask yourself, you know, is it a case of, we were told that there was an oven-ready deal a couple of years ago, that, you know, we just pop it in, pop it. And if you look on the Talk Radio Europe Facebook page, I actually sourced that image from back in the day. And it was a case that we were going to be able to, you know, quite easy. This would be done in a matter of weeks. Trade talks would be easy, simplest thing in the world. And here we are, what are we, 2.5, 3.5 months from the deadline day?
Yeah, well, he's probably still hiding in some fridge somewhere. I don't know. But, I mean, if you look back to the very first meeting, which was with David Davis as a negotiator for Brexit with the EU, he was the only one turned up with not even a biro. He didn't even have a pen. All of the others were sat there with files probably about 6-10 inches high of papers, and he just sat there with his arms folded. I'm not too sure what he really thought he'd gone for.
I've been corrected, by the way, and thank you very much. The current non-negotiations are about a trade deal. The UK has already left the EU with a deal. It's called the withdrawal agreement.
Correct. 18.4 is the citizens' rights. It's the trade deal.
Right. Okay. So, what are you thinking then? If you had a crystal ball to look into, what are we looking forward to, or should we be more than worried about? I mean, we've got Tony Abbott, former Australian Prime Minister, controversial, to put it mildly, appointed as a trade representative as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, I was reading that the fourth company with links to Dominic Cummings and the Vote Leave campaign has just received a vast amount of money. Without even having to compete for a tender. The fourth company to do so. I mean, it's just corruption to the nth degree. It's absolutely disgusting, but people don't seem to want to open their eyes and see what's going on. I kind of think much the same as that lady was just saying. No deal has been at the back of Boris's mind from the beginning. And I think he will be quite happy to walk away with no deal.
Just looking at some of the comments coming in here, some say that the point of lockdown, this is a point back just before Sean was on, before we got in contact with you, was to short stocks and then buy them back on the cheap. The WA that he now disagrees with, WA, I'm not quite sure what one that is, and that's going back about something to do with masks, anyway. And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Jason again.
Yes, Jason.
I'd just like to make a couple of factual points, because the science has proven this. It was on the Spanish main news about...
Are we talking Brexit here? Are we going back...
Yeah, we're talking Brexit.
Right.
It's linked to that.
We're talking about Boris and Brexit now. I don't want to go back to the environment stuff.
I was just on about the mask not being effective, right? Because they only filter down to 0.3 microns.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that now, Jason.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think the basically the tourism has been withdrawn through Europe, and people have been desensitized with the quarantine to travel at Europe, and money has been spent back in GB, which has got to be good. For GB, and I wonder if by withdrawing the tourism, it's been used as a political football in the Brexit negotiations to apply political pressure on the, you know, the deal or not a deal coming up. In other words, you can have your tourism back if we get a good deal.
Right. Okay. I mean, do you think that's the case, Anne? Do you think that they're using tourism as a political football?
No, I don't think it's tourism. They are full of threats and menace. They're bullies, basically. They're British bullies. I mean, they've entered into some negotiations thinking we're the only ones in the world that's got a modicum of intelligence, and it's come as a bit of a shock to them to find that other nationalities also have possibly even more intelligence than us and know better how to negotiate.
Can I come back on that, please?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, just a minute here. Just a minute. The rights and the wrongs and the why-fors are one thing, right? But if you were a prime minister of a country, right, you'd be a fool if you didn't look after your own interests first, whatever's gone on before, right? If that was available to a prime minister, well, why not use that? Because whatever happens is going to shape the future of GB, so why not use it as a bargaining tool? Because nobody else is playing fair, are they? I mean, so that in that instance, I back up Boris Johnson.
Yeah, well, my question would be, so how is a no trade deal going to help the UK?
The thing is, Europe's falling apart anyway on the back of this virus. They can't agree on anything, and the richer
countries. Yeah, but you just said not to bring in anything else. So my question to you is, how is a no deal going to help the UK?
The problem is, we're penalised in Europe. The world GDP is much bigger than Europe, I'm sorry. Right? As big as Europe is, it's only a small percentage of the world economy. So by tying our hands back with Europe and failing or being penalised and penalty to trade with the larger market share of the world, which totally dwarfs Europe anyway, we'd be absolute fools, wouldn't we, to be tied to something.
I'm awfully sorry, but I think you've been listening to too many politicians, because I've asked twice quite a direct question and you still haven't answered.
Yeah, but in respect to you, I could say the same, because you're speaking the same duplicity.
I haven't been asked any question.
OK, I'll ask you a question then. So,
answer mine. What are the benefits of a no-trade deal Brexit?
I've answered the question to you, and the answer is that the world proportion of benefits on trade outweighs the smaller proportions on Europe. That's the answer to your question. My question to you is, why would you do it the other way around? Why would you defend the smaller percentage and therefore penalise yourself for the greater percentage if you're going to try and survive as a country? Why would you do that?
I'm not trying to defend anybody. I'm trying to defend the UK.
Answer my question,
I'm trying to defend the UK facing the rest of the world and its credibility with settling on a deal.
But we answer the question then. Why would you go for the smaller trade share?
I've just answered. I'm not.
Right.
I haven't said that.
No, but you've not answered the question.
We seem to be going around in circles. We seem to be going around in circles on this one. Okay, Jason, thank you very much for calling, Jason. Good to hear from you as always. I mean, there's a raft of documents and trade deals that have to be signed with the rest of the world, you could argue, than we do with the current 27 or 26 other partners. Another call on the line. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kiki, Kate, Quickie.
Yes.
Boris answering the male speaker. Boris is very, very significantly responsible for the absolute bloody chaos that the country is now in. There is no doubt that the worst sufferers from no deal will be the UK, with the significant exception of the people who play around offshore money and etc. and the money markets. There is a very, very great danger that under the cover of all the rest of this stuff, the Conservative Party, as now constituted as the Brexit Party in practice, in de facto, will be very, very vulnerable to the Cummings pushing for changing laws. This is what Boris is wanting to do this week, before next week, you know, for the EU negotiations. Chaos, changing laws with an 80 seat majority, he's able to do it, and our lack of constitution has left the country very, very vulnerable to. No, I'm just reading from someone else's one sentence. We are now in uncharted waters, but is recognizable territory for the disappearance of democracy, as in Nazi Germany. This happened over a few months. In the USA, it is happening over a presidential term, and in the UK, .. That's someone else's quote.
Right.
But that is the unwritten agenda of Cummings and a fair proportion of the cabinet. They're not the brightest of people.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Kate. Just want to take some of the WhatsApps in +34 645 99 67 95. That's +34 645 99 67 95. This in. Good morning. If the British people were not so apathetic, they would demand a new vote on Brexit, especially in light of possible Russian interference. A no deal has always been the intention of this dreadful Prime Minister and his cabinet. Another one in. Current trade between the UK and the EU announced for over 10% of UK GDP. If the UK signs trade deals with the USA and Japan, it's estimated they will improve UK GDP by 0.6% combined. And Europe is falling apart and the UK isn't. What can we trade with the rest of the world that UK doesn't already do trade with? Sell more dodgy Land Rovers in New Zealand. Flog more money laundering services to Moscow. The EU is the UK's biggest partner. So the UK thinks it will benefit by selling its profits with a tariff. The Mail caller negates the trade deficit that the UK has. The reason why it exists is that Brits prefer to buy EU products than use EU ones, but maybe he thinks the EU needs the UK more than the UK needs the EU. It's the same old lie. So that is coming in there. Anne, any thoughts on what you've heard?
Well, no. I mean, I do really hope I'm wrong. I hope this isn't the demise of the UK, but surely at a time like this, especially with the coronavirus being a pandemic, we need to be united, every country in the world. We need to support one another. And to go out on our own and isolate ourselves is just absolute, well, it's absurd. I just have no word for it.
Indeed. Just want to get, whilst you're on, because I know you've obviously with your own Facebook and website and whatever that you have been promoting, and I'll give you a quick plug in a second. We are getting asked left, right and centre this, and it's coming up because obviously people are getting very concerned now because they're suddenly realising they haven't got their paperwork in order. They should do TIE. I thought I just, because I get it from the horses, I know you've been besieged with this all the time and you seem to be going around in circles. If you've got your green document, Residencia Permanente, do you need your TIE?
No. In a word.
In a word.
Provided you've got the correct address on it. We are legally obliged to always keep the our current address on it. If you haven't, then just exchange it. And the exchange is quite simple. However, if you wish to change it, it isn't mandatory. It is optional. And it's entirely up to you.
And how have you been finding, yourself busy? And just remind the listeners about the website and the Facebook page if they want to find you.
Uh-huh. Well, we're all the W's, brexpats.es. We've also got a Twitter account that's very active. We've got six Facebook groups, Brexpats in Spain. We try to basically debunk all of this false information about the TIE, saying that it's essential that if you only have a green residency, you have until the 31st of December to exchange it. That isn't true. Others that do not have any sort of green residency, but are trying to get here early, let's say, and they do only have until the 31st of December. That is true. And it's quite difficult at the moment to even get appointments.
And how are you fine? I was going to say, do you think we're going to get a last minute rush as people suddenly realise that, that there's not going to be some sudden sort of waving away of people saying, oh, don't worry, you're British, you won't need that piece of paper, which seems to be the way that certain people are regarding this.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have a short, sharp lesson, basically. They're not going to like what they find out on the 1st of January. I mean, I feel desperately sorry for those that were planning to retire here, perhaps have bought their second home here, thinking that next year, as and when we get our UK state pension, or even the year after, then we're going to retire here, because they won't be able to get here using their S1, which is their transfer of national health rights to the Spanish health system. They will have to get a private medical insurance. And obviously, the older you get, the more chance you're going to be needing a doctor or possibly have pre-existing conditions. And it's so expensive, if not even virtually impossible, to find companies that will insure them. And without that, they cannot get their TIE.
I got a call on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TIE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. I've listened to quite a few phone-ins on, I hate to say this, Charles, on other radio stations, oh dear, but an awful lot of Brexiteers, people who voted Leave, were phoning in and complaining bitterly about going to be crude about it, following America, going up to Trump's rear end, as they put it, and they said, I wanted to leave the European Union. I did not want to be American. The whole idea of leaving the EU was to we retain our British whatever sovereignty, although I think we never lost it. The Japan has said that if we deviate too much and do too much deception, they will knock on the head the current agreement with the UK. The only benefit we've got with a trade deal with Japan is a bit of Stilton cheese, and America
if Trump loses this election, which I don't think he will, but if he does, the Democrats have said if we leave without a trade deal, there'll be no deal with the USA. And if we do a deal with the USA, it's only something like 0.02%. It's a very, very low percentage of GDP, so it's hardly worth having anyway. I think there might be a few disappointed people in the world. Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for that.
Thanks to Anna as well. Cheers.
Thanks. Hello. Yes, yeah, so Anna, are you still there, Anna?
I'm still here, yeah.
Right then. So, sorry, I was just going back to, I've got, no, that's, so yeah, if people want to find out more about you or about what you, what we do on the run up to, the UK, you know, the 31st of the December, where do they find you?
The end of the transition period. Well, they can find us on Facebook, as I said, any of our six now we've got on Facebook groups, Brexpats in Spain. We've got our website, all the W's, brexpats.es, and we've got a very active Twitter account. We've got now probably nigh on 15,000 members throughout all of Spain. We work very closely with the British Embassy and the consulate. I mean, previous, we worked very closely with the EU, and we still could if we needed to, but yeah. I just think it's happening now. I mean, we've just got to make the most of a bad job.
Can you just confirm the Twitter feed as well? Because there seem to be two feeds, I'm being told.
Yeah, I don't know. One of my admins does it. I would imagine it's just Brexpats.
Right, okay.
In Spain or something.
And anyway, always good to have you with us. Thanks so much for taking the time. I think the sigh when we first came on made it all worthwhile. Anne Hernandez, Brexpats in Spain. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks,
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Getting reports in, by the way, of a 3.9 magnitude earthquake felt in the United Kingdom. Seems to be just outside Slough. I kid you not. Come friendly bombs and fall on Slough, etc. But there seems to be reports coming in of an earthquake. Thank you for letting me know about that. No, it's not Johnson getting out of bed, but thank you. Head of the UK government legal department apparently quitting over Brexit. From Team FT, Jonathan Jones, head of the government legal department, is quitting after a major spat over suggestions Boris Johnson will challenge the Brexit withdrawal agreement. He's the sixth senior Whitehall figure to resign this year. Looking at this one, for a long time, many Brits have, this is on the WhatsApp, by the way, and if you want to get in contact with the show, it is this.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
This one in, for a long time, many Brits have ignored the administrative rules relying on going back to the UK for medical treatment. Etc., they may find they have a high price to pay for disrespecting the Spanish system. Now, the epicenter, by the way, of this earthquake, I get reports in the UK, 3.9, is Aylesbury, it seems to be. Anyway, thank you very much for that. Looking at this in from Jeff Wade, and Rich has now said, I guess we can now, this is a retweet, if you thought 2020 wasn't going to throw us any more curveballs. I had, you know, list of things that 2020 can throw us is an earthquake and a picture of a couple of wheelie bins that have fallen over. I've got my money on plagues of... Whatever happened to the murder hornets, by the way? Did anybody know what happened to the murder hornets? Because that was supposed to be the next one in. I had plagues of boiling frogs, but anyway, that's just me. We've got a call on the line. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hiya, Giles. It's Alf.
Hello, Alf.
First of all, an apology to Anne. My two-year-old grandson decided to tamper with my communications, so I couldn't ring him while she was on.
But fair enough. What is he? Is he been playing Fortnite or something?
I don't know.
When a two-year-old has your mobile phone, that's the end of all communication.
Yeah, absolutely. But Anne has always said, and I keep trying to correct her, my organisation are non-political. They are political. She's just made about 20 political statements this morning. What she means is they're apolitical, i.e. they're not aligned to any one particular party. That I agree with, and I, you know, great faith in all of that stuff. But remember when you say things, she said, I'm not going to knock Boris, but he is a disgrace. Well, that's a dichotomy, isn't it? Or whatever it is, it's the opposite. Boris is a disgrace, is knocking him. And my training, especially when you understand negotiations, yes, but means no. Yes, but is always the opposite. So, yeah, stop all that nonsense.
Right.
And the bit about, and Anne is being big and bold, and I've read it in her stuff that she's written as well, you know, citizens' rights won't be affected. Listen to what people are saying. They're not saying we're not going to have a trade deal. They're now saying he's going to rewrite the withdrawal agreement. The withdrawal agreement is based on those citizens' rights. And who, you know, I've always been an advocate of decent political people trying to do the best for the country. But, simple question, would you believe an MP if he told you that red was green? You know, they're always, if he thinks, because he's made a mistake, he hasn't made a mistake, he's come under pressure again from the right-wing Tories to change things. He's got a majority of 80, and there's still rumours arrive that he can't get through things through Parliament. With a majority of 80? You know, that's nonsense. He will get, you know, Trump will get elected, he will do a deal with them. We are going to leave without an agreement. And you were right, Charles, you said we're no further down the line now than when we first signed off on this stuff, whenever it was, even, you know, as long ago as 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we are no further. But is that not by design? You know, you have to keep asking yourself. We're no further down the line because it's by design. And by the way, this lot of talks that are going on there, crucial? I don't think so, because everybody will still say, but we're going to wait till the last minute. Like the withdrawal agreement, 2 days before we had to have it signed off, they signed it off.
Yeah, but I mean, what I say, I mean, they are built up as crucial last-minute talks. I mean,
we have been listening.
The media are saying this is possibly the last gasp, and you know, and the EU is getting exasperated with you know, the UK.
And all the time we have, you know, everybody coming on saying the same thing. You know what my adage is. This is about power. This is about politics. It's not about, how does he think he's got the right? The British people never said this. I tell you what they're saying. Listen to what they are saying. The British people said they wanted to leave the EU because they don't want the EU rules and regulations running the UK. There is nothing else to talk about. You can disagree with that, but that's where they are coming from. And they have the power. And only the power can make the decisions. So, you know, with the best will in the world, you can carry on chatting on about this. And I was one that voted to go into Europe, voted to stay into Europe, and would still argue today, despite what Pompey Gary says about, you know, how many times has Gary said to me, you know, we've had the vote, you lost, you know, move on. It's like, no, I don't have to move on because I still agree we should be in the EU. And if there's a way of getting us back into the EU, or if there's a way of showing people, you know, what they've been led by the nose into, then that's what I will always campaign on. So, you know, with the best will in the world, he's heading, everybody knows he's heading for a no-deal exit from the EU. And despite what people say about, you know, world trade, remember, is it less than 50% of our trade, as big as it is, less than 50% of our trade is with the EU, which means that more than 50% of it is with the rest of the world. Mm. And remember, we are not instructed, bombarded, we are obliged to buy some of our stuff from the EU and sell to the EU. Well, if you are released of those shackles, you do have the ability to go elsewhere. That's not to say that the British economy isn't going to be affected, because it will be. But, you know, Britain will survive.
Alf, I've got another caller coming in.
Yes,
Alf,
so nice to talk to you.
You two, and keep the two-year-old away from playing shops on your phone in the future. Good to hear from you, as always.
You wait till I see him.
Right, OK, super. Thanks for the call in, Alf. Good to hear from you. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name?
Good morning. It's the Swaker birthday.
Yeah, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
1936. We were told that your speech should be yes or no and nothing there between. Okay, thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. Good morning, Cooley. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning, Giles. It's Pompey Gary.
Good morning, Gary.
Yes, you knew it was going to happen. In answer to Alf, there's a lot of people, by the way, Anne Hernandez, I disagree with 90% of her beliefs, etc., with regard to Brexit.
Right.
But she's always done it in a very dignified and non-political way.
Yeah.
And I do not understand why people want to politicise everything, from a loaf of bread to this, that and the other. This is concerning people's lives, and people want to seem to make...
Gary, if you're going to go about bread and say that brown loaves matter, I shall have to shut you off, OK?
Yeah, whatever, whatever. But this is... I'm getting a bit fed up with people politicising things, and when people are sitting down trying to sort out their futures, whichever, whatever they believe in, I have my beliefs, and I stick with them, and I can be swayed at times. And as I say, with regard to Anne Hernandez, and I've put this, I've been in the media for saying this before, and I'll say again, she's a very, very valued member of society over here. She does good work. A lot I don't believe in, but, you know, she's fighting for some people, a certain strata. But other people want to make political gain out of it. And I've got to dispute what Alf said. As normal, he's got it back to front. The agreement, the rights, the European rights, is based on the agreement. It's not based... I said this in the company of Alf and Anne Hernandez. I said this 4.5 years ago. And at the time, no one picked up on it. And all of a sudden, they're picking up on... And I've got to say it, if I sound like an angel, so be it. But they're picking up on my comments and my research from 4.5 years ago. And a few people are trying to take the credit for it.
Right then.
Okay,
bye. Gary, thanks for that. And the vision of you as an angel coming from on high will stay with me always. 952, well, I'll give you the numbers again, shall I?
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
GB, not GQ.
Talking to movers and shakers from music.
Any musician that says they prefer an arena to a club, they're counting dollars.
Explorers and adventurers.
The moment had suddenly come, really, when you're going to either do this or just walk away from it. So I decided to do it.
Sporting greats.
It was all done on just determination, application, and this enormous self-belief.
And presented by Giles Brown.
He has a very meaningful fan base, and people who like him really, really love him.
It's GB, not GQ.
Fridays from 4 p.m.
I used to say for years I'd write the book, but nobody will believe it.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And going to studio at tre.radio, this is from Jeff in Cambasol Marazon, saying this government is a complete joke. They have been arguing now for 4 years on the withdrawal agreement and trade deals. Come January, deal or no deal, it is not the end by any means, just the beginning. By law, the UK will not become, sorry, the UK will become a third country and will be entering a legal void in key parts of its external commercial relations. After Brexit, the UK will need to renegotiate with at least 759 trade treaties. Sorry, renegotiate at least 759 trade treaties. God help us. And that agreements, agreements with 168 countries must be redone just for the UK to stand still. It poses a formidable and little understood challenge for the Prime Minister. While Brexit is often cast as an affair between Brussels and London, in practice, Britain's exit will open more than 750 separate time-pressured mini-negotiations worldwide, and there are no obvious shortcuts. Even a basic transition after 2020 requires not just EU-UK approval, but the deal-by-deal authorisation of every third country involved. In other words, the UK will be starting from scratch and will open up a bureaucratic vortex.
Any agreement or deal that has been signed by the UK and EU or makes reference to EU law will be void and must be renegotiated. So, what deals are we talking about? Trade, regulatory cooperation, fisheries, transport, customs, nuclear, financial services, agriculture, and many more. That from Jeff going live to the lines again, 952-78-4000, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, call, you're live on TRE. Let's try on the other. No, and we have lost that caller. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Going to the WhatsApps. I am a definite Remainer. Can anybody tell me what benefits of Brexit, or what the benefit of Brexit is? Two, this is from John in Norfolk. I am a definite Remainer. Can anyone tell me what the benefit of Brexit is to the Boris government? And forget the BS about sovereignty and immigration. The real benefits, please. That's from John. I'm not going to knock Boris, but he is a disgrace. It's an oxymoron. Okay. Bojo is hoping to fudge a deal. The British people did not say that. 52% of the electorate that bothered to show up may have said that. It's not the same as the will of the people, and he liked my Brown Loaves Matter quote. And this in as well. John Dodd is a legend. I don't understand a word he says, but he is cool. We're going to go live to the... It was quite a stream of consciousness, wasn't it? We're going live to the lines again. Morning, cool, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. Yeah, I've heard a couple of times before you saying we're no better... A few people have included yourselves. They were no better off now than we were when this started, a few years ago. But we're in negotiation, and negotiations will continue until the day they don't. And we're in a changing world, and the world is massively different than it was 6 months ago. Now, Sharon picked up on minute fractions of percentages of drops in GDP when the whole world's GDP has taken a massive hit, and we're not in the same place we used to be. And everyone's saying the demise of the UK. Now, two of the largest economies in the world, Italy and Spain, are in tremendous trouble, far worse than the UK is, and the whole of the European Union is in trouble. And over the last month or so, the dollar-euro or euro-dollar has been hovering around the 120. Now, any FX expert will tell you that they're going to have to act on 120. The currency is just too strong. Now, as I've mentioned numerous times, you're better off with a weak currency, because of your exports. Now, the UK has a weak pound. America is weakening the dollar as we speak, and the euro is getting stronger and stronger. It seems to be everybody is bundling into euro because they just keep printing money, which is making their exports more and more expensive. Germany's taking a massive hit to their GDP. Europe's taking a massive hit to their GDP. They have massive unemployment. They have big problems, and the world today is different than it was 6 months ago. So the negotiations have to change. And Boris Johnson has been given the job of negotiating. Now, until those negotiations are over, he has to negotiate hard and fast. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now, any business has known, we've all known, and we've all been told, and we've all expected no deal. Any business that is in business and hasn't planned for no deal should not be in business. We spoke of the demise of the London banking business. They're all still there. The FX business is massive now, far bigger than it was before, and everybody's flocking into London to the bank. So where is this demise of the UK? Where are all these companies leaving in droves? Yet they've known for the best part of 4 years there's going to be no deal. So why are they not acting on that? Because they know that the negotiations, probably we might not get a no deal. And if we do get a no deal, it's a different world than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And listening to Kate earlier talking about, and Jason talking about the change in the world's economy, it's better to work from home. Let me give you an example. As I've mentioned before, my family live in America. Yep. My brother lives in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Las Vegas is...
It's a quick one, Peter, because I got a call to come in, and we've got 2 minutes left. Yeah.
Vegas is shut down.
Yeah.
Three wages in his house have disappeared. All the hotels are shut. All the restaurants are shut. They're changing as we speak to change for this new world of COVID. So the negotiations will have to change.
So I don't know why people are making so much fuss about what happened 3-4 years ago. We're in a different world, very different world.
As always, okay. Thank you for your call, and mate, good to hear from you as well. A quick one, please, caller, because we've only got about a minute, a bit left. Who's calling? What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Sean.
Have to be a really quick one, Sean. I've got a minute.
I will be very quick. We had a mention of 0.002% from Sharon of the UK's trade
right.
with the EU yeah. and the proportion it is of the UK economy. Just for Sharon's information, and indeed for everyone else who might have an interest, the actual percentage of that trade, far from being 0.002, far from being 0.02 or anything like it, it's 3.2%. That
right.
is a very, very significant percentage of the UK GDP. And as Alf rightly pointed out, less than half of the UK's trade is with the EU. It's actually 44%. It works out at 7.3% of GDP, which compares not all that favorably with the 9.2%, as Alf indicated, of GDP with non-EU countries.
Thank you very much for that one, Sean. Thank you much indeed. This another one in. If you chase two rabbits, you lose both. Therefore, best leave with world trade deals without penalty, not tied to Europe with penalties. Also, this one in. Makes you, Andy and Frank Hirola, the irony makes you laugh. The UK has been slagging off China in the world's media for reneging on the bilateral agreement for Hong Kong and calling them a rogue state. The UK is now threatening to do the same thing with the withdrawal agreement. You couldn't make it up. Alf, I was not out knocking what Anne does. I probably agree with more of what she says and writes than Gary. Why do we have to try and politicize everything? Because that is how life happens around the world. Decisions are made and acted on by the few in charge, not by consensus. That is politics. And just a quick last one. Benefit of Brexit, hoarding mackerel the British don't eat. Right then, with that, we are almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you this viewpoint. We're going to the BBC World Service after this. This programme will be repeated at 6 o'clock.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.